Coming up on today's show.
Again, just always trusting that God works outside of time and he's always on time, you know, with us. But so it was after we have four children. After our second daughter was born, really convicted my heart to come into the Catholic Church.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's it. I'm not going to overdo it with emails, just once a week when a new episode comes out. While you are on the website signing up for the newsletter, look at the top of any page on the site and you'll see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that too on CatholicSportsRadio.net. I do truly enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce at CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. As, say, the new NBA and NHL seasons have started to play out, is there a rookie that you've been watching, waiting for him to get on track? You, along with a lot of other fans of that team, probably have high hopes and are getting a little uneasy, trying to stay patient, knowing that when he finds his groove, there will be a lot of good things that will happen. Until then, you continue to try to hold out for what's to come. Don't we do this in our faith life? We know that God has good things for us, yet we wait and we wonder. And yes, doubt creeps in, even though we've been taught, we've been told, we have read that his blessings will be in abundance for us. I know it's easier said than done, especially when you feel like there's a drought that seems like you're in a desert, but we must remain faithful and not have our belief tested. Much like that rookie who is going to blossom, we are going to see the goodness of the Lord. In the Old Testament, we are told of this in Isaiah chapter 40, and specifically verse 5, which says, quote, "Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." Thanks for joining me for another installment of Catholic Sports Radio. I hope you had a nice weekend and that things are good with you, especially your health, both physically and mentally. I'm optimistic that you are not in a battle with either something medically or the paperwork and billing that goes with taking care of ourselves. Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime, choose your own provider, and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/catholic-radio. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest competed in hockey, figure skating, gymnastics, soccer, and dance team as a young girl and teenager, and in her adult years, moved into sports pursuits such as tennis/pickleball, receiving Pilates and TRX certifications, and creating a physical certification program under the banner of SoulCorps, a Catholic fitness apostolate that she is co-founder of, with a mission to amplify the experience of prayer through physical movement. On the faith side, she has a conversion story to the Catholic faith, which we will hear about today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Deanne Miller.
Hello, Bruce. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure, Deanne. Thank you. Let's do a little background setting and have you tell us simply where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Born in Chicago, Illinois, moved around a lot growing up, but that's where it all began. And I have four brothers and now a large extended family from the original seven.
The four brothers, where do you fit? Are you the youngest, the oldest, or somewhere in between?
I'm four out of five, three older brothers and one younger.
As we start to get to know you and your story, there is a little bit of a curveball initially in that you were not born and raised Catholic. We will get to your conversion story eventually, but for now, share with us about the faith that you were raised in and what that looked like when you were a young girl.
Thanks for asking. So I'm 100% Greek. I was brought up Greek Orthodox, and if anyone has seen the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, you have pretty much met my family. A lot of joy, a lot of craziness, a lot of family, fun, and really faith and unity and gratitude, acceptance. Really, all those were just the cornerstone of our upbringing. A really beautiful, beautiful experience.
So I'm going to guess then that Miller is your married name.
Miller is my married name. Capsalis is my maiden
Oh my, that's about as
name.
challenging as Wozniak.
You might have me beat, actually.
On the athletic side of things, wow, as a young girl, I think from youth to high school, you were involved in something like a half dozen different sports. Take us into all that you were competing in, as well as what your parents and your brothers had in terms of ties to sports that I'm guessing influenced your being so active.
Yes, well, sports have been really a part of our lives from before we can even remember for each of us, including my parents. They were very athletic, all their lives, and still do what they can. So, with having four brothers, I was thrown into a lot of sports that maybe most sisters may not be, including hockey. And I didn't play organized hockey, but my dad, as I mentioned, Bruce, we would move around a lot every few years, and really the first thing that my parents would do would sign us up for whatever sport was in season. And so at the time we were living in Minnesota, my brothers all started playing hockey along with soccer, but hockey became kind of the main sport. And my dad would just build ice rinks in our backyard. We were always the neighbors that never had grass. We always had, either a baseball field or a soccer field, or so he would build these ice rinks in the back, and we would be out there every day. And sadly, my brothers, I always just wanted to do whatever they were doing, and so they would let me participate, but they'd throw me in goal basically and just take slap shots to my head pretty much. But I was so happy to be a part of it. So grew up just in a fun recreational way, with hockey. But soccer became really kind of a staple of our entire family in terms of a sustaining and a lasting sport well into, our older years, still involved in various levels. And my brothers all played collegiate soccer, three of them at Indiana University, one at Michigan State, where we were living at the time. They've gone on to coaching and starting leagues and certifications for coaches, and have coached at pretty much every level. So it's just always been a part of our really DNA, I would say.
And you present day are in Indiana, so I'm going to guess that maybe you're a Colts fan and
Colts
Pacers.
and Pacers, but always still a Bears fan. You got to go back to the homeland. But yeah, do love the Colts and the Pacers for sure.
Well, and the Colts and the Bears are in different conferences, so it's okay to be fans of both. Now, folks, I'm going to use the expression fasten your seatbelts because we're about to hear some testimony from Deanne that it's going to be a little emotional to listen to. The good news is that there is some great testimony that's going to come out of this. I'm going to let Deanne share with us right now. Deanne, in your high school years, you were on the dance team, yet what was actually going on with you, gosh, I'm getting emotional just setting you up for this. This is going to be powerful, folks. What was actually going on with you mentally, emotionally, physically, even on into college, was anything but productive, despite what people might have perceived from the outside. Walk us through what was going on, including your pushing God to the side during all this.
Well, thank you so much for letting me share this, Bruce. I'd love to share it only because it really does glorify God and his just incredible healing graces. You know, we don't necessarily feel that as we're going through something, but the reality is his hand is always, you know, with us, and he's always working in us. And so, yeah, as I mentioned, sports were really always just a part of the fabric of our lives, and in a really healthy relationship, you know, just a really passionate, competitive, fun love of sports. And faith has always been the cornerstone of our family and our upbringing. And as I shared, we moved around quite a bit growing up, which always served to draw us closer as a family and strengthen us in various ways. But when we moved to Indiana, when I would be entering high school, it was just a different dynamic in the family in terms of kind of everyone sort of forging their own paths a little bit. And I was in high school, seemingly had everything, you know, which is often so the case with external views, but interiorly just literally wasting away. And that would become what was physically wasting away as well. And I couldn't articulate this at the time, Bruce, but what I've come to realize, it was just a really pivotal time in my life as a teenager, you know, moving to a new state. This time, as I said, everyone's kind of, my family, everyone's kind of, you know, forging sort of their own paths. And I just felt lost. I just felt like, where do I belong? Where do I fit in my family and now at school with friends, you know, community, church? It was just an empty feeling, I would say. What started out slow and comfortable would ultimately lead to a complete disordered eating. We all just want to belong, right? We all just want to belong, you know, in something and with others. And lacking that, I really suffered and started to really destroy myself, you know, just self-destruct, if you will. And it started for me very slow and imperceptibly, but then it became sort of my new identity. It was like everything else in my life felt so out of control. My choice to, you know, eat or not eat and or, you know, exercise excessively was something that I felt like I had control over. Even though that's such a warped way to think about it, at the time it made sense to me that, okay, I can grasp control of this. And I will add, at that time, I was not letting God into any of this time of my life. Not that I had lost faith, I just wasn't even including him in my mess or even considering what I was doing to this my body and what he had, the miracle that he had given me in my body. I, you know, it was just not even part of my thought process at that time. So I would become very, very, very thin, very unwell, very empty. And it was one of those things that took hold and just spiraled. And I really became completely out of control. It was a scary time and a sad time. You know, I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to feel that way. But because I wasn't really letting God into that, I certainly wasn't going to be able to heal that myself and come out of that myself.
But do I understand correctly that it was being furthered by people telling you, wow, you look great, at which point you tell yourself, well, good, then I'm going to keep not eating. Do I have that story correct?
Yeah, you do. And, you know, people meant well, right? People, they thought it was a compliment, but the reality was it really only fueled my disorder and fostered more justification for my behavior and my me to continue self-destructing.
So somebody want to guest host the rest of the show for me, because I'm getting really emotional listening to this. And audience, you know, I felt it was important for us to hear this story from Deanne, because this is very important. If you're a parent, a guardian, a grandparent that's raising a young girl that might be slipping into this, I want to also encourage you, please write this down, audience. Go back to, coincidentally, October of last year. On episode 244, my guest was Julia Webb. She is an assistant coach with the Ave Maria University cross country and track programs. And she talked on that episode. Okay, again, that was 244 from October of 2023, so you can go back and hear it. She talked about suffering through an eating disorder. She was rebelling against her mom. And she kind of talked about, you know, parents, you need to really see who your kids' friends are and what that might be leading them towards. I want to turn the corner, though, with Deanne, because as I said, fortunately, there is the rest of the story, which is all positive. So, Deanne, part two of the story is the transformation, the healing, and how you got there and who played a part in it.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. And also just for sharing about Julia. And there's so many others who have experienced this and, you know, have been, I like to say God reorders what we disorder. And so it is an important topic to talk about. And anyone who is experiencing this or knows someone who is, to not be afraid to talk about it. When we name it, we tame it. and certainly when we let God come into it. So this would spiral now. I would spiral for a few years into my college years. And finally got to a point that I really just cried uncle. I think about the scripture in John when Jesus asked the paralytic, do you want to be well? And I was starting to kind of, you know, bring my suffering more to the Lord in just very, very minor ways. But I remember almost audibly hearing, do you want to be well? And I screamed inside, yes, I do. But I felt like I dug myself into such a deep hole. But the reality is that even though I felt alone and in a sense of just emptiness, God never leaves us alone. He never leaves us alone. And he didn't in for me. And I started to feel his presence more fully. And I just finally just begged him to help me. And he gave me the knowing that we're never too far gone. We've never dug ourselves too deep, you know, and that when we let him in, he will help us out of it. So what happened then, a couple of pivotal things I'll just share. My parents were very worried about me, as you can imagine. I was excessively thin, you know, really just not healthy at all. And it wasn't about the food or it wasn't to look a certain way. It wasn't about the food or exercise. Again, it was all about this control, which is interesting because I was clearly out of control. Yeah. So, you know, but just mentally, that's just where I was. And I just started to open myself up, really asking God for the grace. And my parents, you know, as a mom now, my heart breaks for the way that I just really pushed her aside too and didn't want her help or guidance. But I remember one evening coming home late and I wanted just to go up straight up to my room. And my mom said, no, get in here. Your dad's in here. We're going to talk about this. And I was scared. And, you know, I was like, oh no, what's this going to be? And because we really, with my dad, who's been, you know, very present, such an important part of our lives, but we had not really had a conversation about it. He had not really shared his concerns. He sat me down at the table that night, and I was for the first time able to articulate all the feelings that I had been bottling up, and or interesting enough with the purging, you know, what's been revealed to me is even the purging during those years was, I think, a physical manifestation of me wanting to purge the feelings that I was having, unworthiness and all that. And so we just had, you know, a several hour conversation, and it was, I honestly felt really a renewed sense of hope at that point, because I felt like it was God the Father. You know, I'm speaking with my father, felt like God the Father there with me. And I felt like Our Lady, you know, my mom and representing Our Lady in that time, I felt so comforted and so loved. And it wasn't that they even knew what to say, or they just listened. And we just, you know, I can't really articulate it now, but it was a pivotal moment.
Yeah, I get it, because it's that presence of that love. You know, when you say you felt like God the Father was working through your dad and you felt like your mother was there representing the Blessed Virgin, that's what they are. The two of them are love, and you just felt that love in the room. And it really isn't important what words were said. It's the fact that they were present, that they just poured out love to you and didn't throw up their hands and say, I give up. let this girl self-destruct. They did exactly the opposite.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. They did exactly the opposite, and their presence was everything. I think that's an important thing for us to remember too, that we oftentimes may not know what to say or to do, but to be present to another is everything.
Well, and when two or more are gathered in his name, he is present, and clearly he was there. And you're right, it's not about, oh my gosh, we need to sit Deanne down, but I don't know what to say to her. The Holy Spirit will guide that conversation, and it may be very minimal words. It might be a lot of hugging, it might be a lot of tears, but the room is going to be filled with love, and that has to come first.
Yes, that is spot on, and that's exactly what that experience was for me at that time.
Outstanding.
And what that taught me also really was to be the importance of being vulnerable, of really letting others into our suffering. You know, we're meant to be the Simons and the Veronicas for one another. And so being vulnerable, you know, I didn't know I was being vulnerable then. I was just raw, but it really changed everything. And so what started to happen is, you know, friends that were already in my life, I let them in a different way. I wasn't trying to, certainly I couldn't hide the fact that I was struggling. It was visible.
Yeah.
But no one was talking about it. And, you know, think about this. We're teenagers. We're late teens, now into the early 20s. That's not an easy conversation to have with your friends. You know, like it's just, it's
That's
touchy.
Right. That's right.
But my friends, they came. They were present. They were present, just like my parents, and in just a different way. And that took their courage to do that, and it took my willingness to be vulnerable and open and honest in what was really going on. And from that time, honestly, I say, because really when we're suffering, it affects a lot of people. There was a healing that just began. You know, God really swept in and started slowly and imperceptibly, because obviously I didn't get there overnight. It wasn't
sure.
Not that God couldn't do, but for me, he knew I needed to go through then.
Yep.
You know, I wasn't being punished in going through that. You know, I was making that choice. In addition, my healing, God knew exactly what I needed, you know, and the time it was going to take.
Amen.
But really, in that journey, I just started to reestablish really a healthy respect and appreciation for caring for our body. You know, again, this gift, this miracle that we've been given is our gift from God, and how we care for it is our gift back to him. We're called to be stewards of, you know, our bodies. So I just started slowly relearning what had always been just a natural, healthy relationship, you know, in self-care,
yeah,
you know, through sport, honestly.
Fantastic. And audience, I want to seize upon a word that Deanne used in there. We do need to move on, but I want to seize upon a word that she used in there, which was vulnerable. Too many times we become doubting Thomases. This is a nice segue. Yes, we count our team out when it looks like defeat or elimination is inevitable, but we do it to ourselves too. Either we convince ourselves that we have no way of solving a problem, or we doubt that God can fix a battle that we're in, such as a compulsion to pornography. We see in sports all the time, though, that comebacks do happen, and we know from Luke's gospel that nothing shall be impossible for God, which is why Catholic-led men and women are helping people overcome pornography through Freedom Coaching. Visit their website today at freedom-coaching.net to get started. And do please let them know that you heard about Freedom Coaching on Catholic Sports Radio. Deanne Miller is my guest this week, and we just heard about the transformation she underwent physically. But don't forget that I mentioned in the intro that she is a convert to the Catholic faith. So I want her to give us that story too, plus, wow, wait until you hear something historic that she got to witness on a trip to Italy. Let me say first, though, that we have a big opportunity in front of us for this ministry. And I say we because this ministry is all of us, brothers and sisters in Christ in community with one another, utilizing the mix of faith and sports to go deeper in our faith lives and help others do the same through this resource that is Catholic Sports Radio. Recently, I alluded to potential opportunities that have had to be passed up, all because I don't get any income from doing this show, which means that the bills that come in for it, I have to try to find some way out of my own pocket to cover, so these other pursuits have to get pushed to the back burner. The Catholic Media Association has opened up the submission period, the nomination period, for the 59th Annual Gabriel Awards, which will be handed out next year at their annual conference, which is set for June in Phoenix, Arizona. If we submit Catholic Sports Radio for award consideration, it gets this show, this ministry, out there in front of more eyes and ears, meaning it gives us a chance to grow the audience. And of course, if this show wins, then there will be even more exposure and, dare I say, not only attention, but validation for this mix of faith and sports. The cost to enter is $150, which I just don't have. But I ask you, as part of this ministry, to consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. That 1% of the 10% that our pastors, our priests, always talk about discerning how and where we want to give. Guests and listeners alike have made a financial gift to this ministry, and your choosing to be a part of that is what's going to help grow the audience in traditional and non-traditional ways, such as entering the Catholic Media Association's Gabriel Awards. Please prayerfully consider utilizing the Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. That blue button is a fast, easy, and secure way to make a financial gift. It will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, though, if you prefer, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. Regardless of which of those two methods you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you've heard me do when guests and listeners have made a financial gift to this ministry. Or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I would love to raise that $150 so we can send Catholic Sports Radio to the Catholic Media Association for consideration for a Gabriel Award next year. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Deanne, before all that, you told us about your transformation physically back in your college years, but let's hear about your conversion story to the Catholic faith after having had Greek Orthodox roots.
Yeah, so it's a continuation, you know, just of that healing. During this time, I would meet my now husband, so in college, and my husband, Mike, who's a Catholic, and you know, I would go to church with him on occasion, and ultimately, when we got married, we knew that we wanted to raise our children Catholic. I had not come into the church at that time. And again, just always trusting that God works outside of time and he's always on time, you know, with us. But so it was after we have four children, after our second daughter was born, really convicted my heart to come into the Catholic Church. And I always like to say, Bruce, not giving up my Orthodox upbringing, because it's a beautiful tradition, so many similarities to Catholicism. But really to enhance my love of Jesus and, you know, devotion to Our Lady, and to draw closer to God through the Catholic faith. And that's exactly what it's been all these years, just a continual, constant, lifelong learning, you know, and growing experience. So it was really, my husband was part of my healing journey in that time, in that season of struggle and destruction. And then, you know, being Catholic himself, and we knew we wanted a unified faith in our marriage and to bring our children up in a, you know, in the Catholic faith. So it was important that I take that step. And Mike never, you know, coerced or really made me feel like I had to do it. It was more of a conviction of my own heart. And it's been such a beautiful journey. I can't even tell you.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like my story, in that when my wife and I met, she was not Catholic. And speaking to part of your story, we were going to a healing mass once a month. And little did I know that she was being touched in such a way that I never coerced her. I didn't even know that it turned out that she was calling my parish and she was inquiring about RCIA. And lo and behold, she became Catholic. So a lot of nice commonalities that you and I are finding in audience. I told you before about the Julia Webb interview approximately 6 months ago, back on episode 275. My guest was Colleen Scariano, who co-founded SoulCore with Deanne. If you did not hear that interview, do please go back and listen to the conversation that we had back in May of this year. Meanwhile, Deanne, give us your perspective on co-founding SoulCore.
Oh, goodness. Gift. Total gift. So really so many layers here. But what I'll share is when you listen to Colleen's conversation with Bruce, if any of the listeners go back and listen to that, if you haven't already, SoulCore really was a yes to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit after Colleen had suffered several tragedies, losing three of her family members, her mom and dad and brother, in a very short amount of time. Yeah. And just at her deepest level of grief, in need of healing, physically, emotionally, spiritually, all of it. And so she started praying the rosary more regularly. She's a cradle Catholic, through the encouragement of her brother, Father Vincent Druding. And she started praying the rosary and running the combination and found it to be so healing for her body. You know, Proverbs tells us that God's word is health to one's whole body. And so what started for her to be kind of just a knockout, you know, two for one, became an important part of her healing journey. And she had come to me, we've been friends for a long time, and she said, I had this inspiration, I mean, this massive vision to put something together that instead of running, it's rooted in the rosary, it's focused on prayer and the life of Christ and virtue, but it involves more functional movement, core strengthening, stretching, that sort of thing. And I had, after my season of destruction and disorder, really had made a vow to God that I wanted everything I do, I want to do to glorify him and to be a fit instrument to do his will. And so I've gotten different certifications, you know, Pilates, TRX, just general fitness, really for my own sake, and interior strengthening, and movement became a time of prayer for me in you know, all those years leading up. Of course, not knowing God was going to call us to this apostolate of SoulCore, but he knew. He's always preparing us for what he has prepared for us. And he'll always use, he will use everything and, you know, and make it new, as we read in Revelations. And so when Colleen, she just came to me and said, hey, could we work together, put the combination of rosary and functional movement core strengthening? I said a resounding yes. Like, in fact, my whole body filled with chills, Holy Spirit chills of a yes. And so we just began in my basement. It was really just with a group of friends. It was really more of a healing journey for us. And we were happy there. We thought that's where it was going to, you know, the vision that Colleen had received, you know, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit was massive. And it's really what SoulCore is today and continues to evolve to. So this is when I started the conversation, Bruce, saying that our stories reveal the goodness of God. Not only once we've come to the other side and are healed or are called to a mission, but in all of it, we have an opportunity to reveal his goodness and his glory. But especially after you've gone through something and now you're called to mission to use, you know, here I had absolutely destroyed myself physically, emotionally, spiritually in those earlier years. And now God is using that. He's allowed us now to give this platform, this opportunity, this invitation to nurture body, mind, spirit in such a beautiful way. It's astounding to me, his goodness and his grace and what he'll use, you know, who he'll use and how he'll use us with a simple yes. What he'll do with our little yeses is just astounding. So SoulCore has been personally, and Colleen would say the same, we have continued to experience transformation. And, you know, as a convert, I didn't understand how beautiful and powerful and what a spiritual weapon that the rosary is, because I didn't know. I would just blow past the mysteries and, you know, I would kind of wrote mechanical prayer more so when I was first praying the rosary. But I remember in adoration one day, this was many, many years ago before SoulCore, I was in adoration. I asked God, will you please help me to know your mother more? I don't even know how to do that. And I'm not kidding. You know, and so if you've been in an adoration chapel, it's obviously you're in Blessed Sacrament, you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and it's very quiet. Within probably 10 seconds of me making that silent prayer to God, an entire men's retreat group comes into the Adoration Chapel, kneels before the Blessed Sacrament, and starts singing the rosary. It was, I can bring myself back to that moment right now, and it was many, many years ago. And I'm like, okay, first of all, God, wow, you're fast. And second, got it. You want me to pray the rosary. I get it. So I would pray it, but I really didn't understand the fruits of it. And I never knew that there were virtues tied to each of the mysteries, which is really the bridge for us in our lives, because it's hard to comprehend the mysteries of Christ. But we are all, through his witness and example, called to live the virtues of patience and trust and hope
That's
that each
right.
of the mysteries can bring. So it's been such a journey of transformation for us, continues to be. And then in his generosity, how he's allowed us to share it, really now around the globe, we're just always in awe. I go back to gift is what I can say.
Yeah, and I want to jump in on you saying around the globe, because audience, on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net, I'm going to put a link to the SoulCore website. And you'll want to notice, among other things, that there's a section on the SoulCore website that says find a SoulCore class. And there's a clickable map of the United States for whatever state you're in. But yeah, for those of you listening from outside of the U.S., there's a button on there that says locations outside the U.S. So you can find more information about SoulCore, including where you can find a SoulCore class. Deanne, as we heard, your Greek Orthodox upbringing made an impact on you. There have been a number of pilgrimages that you've been blessed to do, including one that brought you personal transformation, not surprisingly, in Greece. Tell us about where you visited over there and why it was so impactful.
Oh, thank you for letting me share this. So we, my parents and several family members went to Greece, back to where all four of my grandparents had grown up until they had come over on Ellis Island. And so we went back to the villages, the homes where they grew up that are still there. Then there's still relatives there. And it was such a spiritual, it wasn't a pilgrimage as many are in terms of, you know, where there's a priest that's traveling with you and, you know, masses every day and adoration. We had sort of our own experience of that, of just the spiritual experience of being where our grandparents and all the generations before us had walked and had lived and had sacrificed and had suffered and had endured and persevered. And again, living out so many of the virtues of the rosary. It was such a powerful experience. And to be there with my parents, Bruce, was epic.
I'll bet.
Epic. Yeah. I mean, and so one of the beautiful graces was the home. None of them ever owned homes, but the home that my grandmother was actually born in, the bedroom she was born in,
oh my gosh,
we were able to be in, you know, to stand in that bedroom where she was born. It was just, you know what it did for me? It really brought me to so much thanksgiving for all the previous generations who have provided for where we are today.
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to say the word sacrifices.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the sacrifices are beyond, we only know some of them, you know, but we know that they were abundant in sacrificing. And because of their sacrifices, what we're able to live out today and experience is because of them. And I came back, we saw so many beautiful things, as you can imagine. You know, we were in Corinth, which was spectacular. Where St. Paul was, and I mean, did so many things, but it honestly was more of a feeling of gratitude, of thanksgiving for the sacrifices that they had all made for us. And I knew my grandparents, but I didn't know obviously the previous generations. But just, I remember I've had the privilege of going on a few pilgrimages, and I remember feeling a little guilty before I was going on one of them, because I thought, why do I get to do this, but others don't have this opportunity? And our priest has said, no, Deanne, you're to go so that you can bring back to those who can't. And I thought, that gives so much more purpose to it. You know, it's not a selfish endeavor. We are meant to bring back what we experienced.
Yeah. I was going to say, so share with those who are listening that don't have the opportunity to go. This is so great. I was really excited to ask this question and hear this story, audience, in the lead up to preparing to interview Deanne. And we're almost done. I'm going to ask her this, and I'm going to ask her one more question, and then we're done. But I wish we could get into all the pilgrimages that you've done. But we are pressed for time, although I would love for you to just share about having gone to Rome and what significant event took place while you were there.
Blockbuster. Okay, so Mike and I joined Father Leo paddling on a pilgrimage to Rome, as you mentioned. This was in 2016. As it turned out, but we didn't know this when we planned to go on the pilgrimage, Mother Teresa was being canonized on September 4th of that year, and we happened to be there.
Wow.
And Father Leo had made arrangements for all of us pilgrims to be present. And it was, I don't know, I don't think there's words.
Yeah, I was going to say indescribable is probably the word.
Indescribable is the word, Bruce. Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, I don't even know how many thousands of people, and the beauty, the grace, to know that we are part of Mother Teresa's journey, and then now her canonization, just, it brought us to our knees, I will say. And the joy, off the charts.
Yeah.
Off the charts. And, you know, it was like 100 degrees, it felt like, out there. We were waiting for hours, millions of people, you know, I don't know millions, but a lot of people. I can't remember all the prayers that were said, everything that was said. I remember how we felt.
Yep. Yeah, 100 degrees, and it didn't matter.
It did not matter. It was such a privilege to be there. And I'm thankful that we all recognize the privilege it was. It was an unexpected surprise and grace. And
so
I mean,
cool.
Something we'll never, ever forget.
Yeah, you could do a dozen more pilgrimages and you're not going to have one where, oh, by the way, there's a canonization going on while we're there.
By the way, I mean, talk about amazing grace.
Deanne, you've mentioned your husband a few times. Let's close by having you share about your marriage, how long you and Mike have been married, and the family that the two of you have made. I believe you said you have four children. I don't know the age range of the four.
Thanks for asking. So yeah, Mike and I just celebrated 35 years
of
marriage. Oh, wow. Right out of college.
Wow.
Yeah, such a gift. And then we have two girls and two boys, ages 28 to 21.
Outstanding, outstanding. Deanne, this has been wonderful, as I knew it would be. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. Prayers for your apostolate, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Bruce. God bless you. Thanks so much for having me.
Audience, it was very clear throughout the conversation how much Deanne not only values being a parent herself, but you heard her say in the first half of the show how she felt for her mother, for what she put her through. Then you heard her talk about the generations that came before her that she got to discover when she went to Greece. So I thought it would be fitting if this week we close with a prayer for parents. So let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant us, O Lord Jesus, the strength to imitate faithfully the example of your holy family and to make our home another Nazareth. May peace, love, and happiness prevail in all things and all games. Grant us the grace to be the parents we should be for our children. Grant that our child may find solid support for their human dignity and for their growth in truth and love within the embrace of their team. May Saint Sebastian watch and guide them in their efforts as he guides us in support of our children. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.